ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தே சாந்தே சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். பத்ரம் கர்ணே பிஷ்ருணுயாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஷ்யே மாக்ஷபிர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டு வாகும்சஸ்தனூபிஹி விஷேம தேவகி தம் யதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ வ்ருத்தஸ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தே சாந்தே சாந்திஹி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். மாண்டூக்கிய காரிகா வைத்தத்ய பிரகரணம் ஸ்லோகா 15. அவ்யக்தாயேவயேந்தஸ்தோம் ஸ்புடாயேவசயேபகிஹிம் கல்பிதாயேவதேசர்வே விசேஷஸ்விந்திரியாந்தரே. சோ இன் தி செகண்ட் சாப்டர் டைட்டில்டு வைத்தத்ய பிரகரணம் கௌடபாதா எஸ்டாப்ளிஷஸ் தி மித்யாத்வம் ஆர் வைத்தத்யம் ஆஃப் தி வேக்கிங் வேர்ல்ட் not dream world, waking world. Once this mithyatvam is established, then he can come to the conclusion that there is only one satya vastu, and that satya vastu is I, the atma, the witness consciousness. So the observer I alone is satyam, and whatever is observed is mithya. To establish this mithyatvam of the waking world, Gaudapada, he took the example of the dream world. The dream world and waking world are both objects of experience. The dream world appears real in the dream state, and the waking world appears real in the waking state. The dream world is useful in dream but not in waking. And the waking world is useful in waking but not useful in dream. So, in all respects, the dream world and the waking world are similar. Therefore, the conclusion is that since the dream world is known to be mithya, the waking world should also be concluded to be mithya. This is the central principle of the second chapter. However, some people raised objections and suggested various definitions for mithya, and through those definitions, they strive to prove that the waking world is satyam and the dream world is mithya. What do we say? The waking world also is equally mithya. Various definitions were analyzed, and Gaudapada showed that whatever definition you apply, the final result is that both waking and dream states are equal only. So in the waking state, this world appears to be outside, and in dream state, the world appears inside. So just because they appear outside, they cannot be said to be real. That the dream world is useful in dream but not in waking, and cannot be used to say that it is mithya but the waking world is real, because the waking world is useful in waking state but not in dream, making it mithya also. So both of them are objects of experience, arriving and departing, and conditionally useful. Therefore, Gaudapada's conclusion is right. The fifth and final objection is analyzed in Shloka 15, which we just read. Now, if you look at the Shloka, Avyakta eva entastu, those objects that appear unmanifest, avyakta, inside the mind, sputa evacha ye bahihi, and those appear vivid, sputa, outside, they are all kalpita evate sarve, they are all merely, all of them are kalpana, they are only imagination. Visheshaha tu indriyantare, the difference is due to the difference in the organs of perception. So, the objector says that the waking world must be real because it is clearly experienced, whereas dream is always vague and unclear. So the objector claims that whatever is clearly experienced is satyam, and whatever is vaguely experienced is mithya. And Gaudapada refutes this. The dream world is said to be vague only in the waking state. But in dream, the dream experience is very clear for the dreamer. Thus, clarity and the lack of it cannot be the criterion for reality. The dream world that is experienced within is vague from the waker's standpoint. The waking world that we experience in the waking state is clear. That's all right. But one should note that both the waking and the dream experiences are mithya. The objector then further, he says, the experience in waking and dream are different in nature. The experience in waking are normal. In dream, unusual experiences take place. How does one account for those different experiences in different states unless waking is real and dream is mithya? That is the question. And Gaudapada, he replies that the difference in experiences does not prove that one set is real and the other is mithya, because all experiences are mithya. All experiences are subject to arrival and departure, and so they are mithya. Even though all experiences are mithya, within the mithya experience themselves, there will be differences depending on the instrument, the upadhi that are used. If we have a human body, the experiences will be humanly in nature. The experiences of an animal will be in keeping with the animal body, that is the upadhi. So these differences have nothing to do with reality, but depend on the instruments of experience used. So these differences have nothing to do with the reality. The conclusion is what then? That the waking world is also mithya, just like the dream world. So all the five objections have been refuted. Gaudapada has established the Siddhanta that the waking world is subject to arrival and departure and is an object of experience and therefore is mithya. So based on this conclusion, the objector raises a question, and now we have to go back to verse 11. If you remember, for the sake of continuity, we skipped these verses in the beginning, 11, 12 and 13. And now we went to 14 and 15. Now we will go back to shloka number 11. Ubayorapi vaitathyam bhedanam sthana yoryadim kayetan buddhyate bhedan kovaitesham vikalpakaha. So yadi, here is vaitathyam. If the unreality vedanam of the objects sthanaiha in both the states, dream and the waking states, is accepted, both of them sthanaiha, then kaha buddhyate yetan, who experiences these objects, and kaha vai tesham vikalpakaha, who is indeed their creator. Things which are experienced within are not clear. Those experienced outside, they are clear. So this shloka has a very profound question. And it's also profound, the answer also for this. But it's very difficult to accept the answer. The objector says that he agrees with Gaudapada temporarily, that the waking world also is mithya, like the dream world. That means questions will come up. I know that the dream world is projected by me, because we all know the dream world is nothing but vasanas, impressions in our minds that we project in dream. Thereafter, I myself support the dream world. I am the projector, I am the supporter, and later I alone enter the dream world and experience the dream world also by my dream body. So if the waking world also is mithya like dream, then who is the projector, supporter and experiencer? Swamiji calls it PSE, projector, supporter and experiencer of the waking world, since the same rule should apply. If I am the projector, supporter and experiencer, what is the meaning of the word I? Does it mean the physical body or mind? I is neither of them, because the body, mind are part of the waking world, which is projected. Therefore, I, the projector, must be different from the body and mind. The I is the conscious principle, the Atma. Then the question is, how do I do such a thing? How do I project, support and experience? It is unbelievable. But then, how do I create a dream world? It is effortless. Dream world, what all I should do to create a dream world? I should just go to sleep. Because I have a special Shakti that is called the Nidra Shakti. With the help of Nidra Shakti, I project a dream universe consisting of dream space, dream time, dream stars, dream moon, all of them. Similarly, to project the waking world also, I, the Atma, have a Shakti, and that Shakti is called Mithya Shakti. As we have the Nidra Shakti to project the dream world, we have the Mithya Shakti to project the waking world. In the previous Upanishads, this Maya Shakti is referred to as Maya Shakti of Bhagavan. But in Mandukya Upanishad, it is referred to as Maya Shakti of not Bhagavan, of mine. That is the basic difference. I, as the Atma, am capable of doing that. The body, mind, they are all limited. But I, the Atma, with Maya Shakti, project the waking world. So with two Shaktis, I project two different worlds and both are Mithya. So with Nidra Shakti, I project dream world. With Maya Shakti, I project the waking world. Once I know that they are Mithya, the greatest advantage is Mithya cannot harm Satyam. This is the fourth capsule of Vedanta. Actually, if you remember the five capsules of Vedanta that we have said many times, just only to refresh. The first capsule is what? I am of the nature of eternal and all-pervading consciousness. And second capsule is, I am the only source of permanent peace, security and happiness. And third capsule, by my mere presence, I give life to the material body. And through the material body, I experience the material universe. And the fourth capsule now is, I am never affected by any event that happens in the material world or in the body-mind complex. And the fifth capsule of Vedanta is, by forgetting my real nature, I convert life to a burden. And by remembering my real nature, I convert life into a blessing because I can claim my glory. This is a profound topic. Regarding this topic, the objector raises a question. Suppose the objects in both the waking and the dream states are Mithya. Who is the PSE, the projector, supporter and experiencer of the waking world? Anything Mithya has to be projected. Gaudapada Acharya answers this question in Shloka 12. In all the other Upanishads, we learned that there was a Bhagavan who created the world. Now Gaudapada Acharya is changing that stand and reveals disturbing news. Shloka 12. Kalpayatyatmanatmanam atmadeva swamayaya sayeva buddhyate vedan iti vedanta nischayaha. Swamayaya, through its own maya, devaha atma, the self-effulgent atma itself, kalpayati, it imagines, atmanam, its own self, sayeva buddhyate vedan, that atma itself experiences the objects. Iti Vedanta Nishchayaha. This is the conclusion of Vedanta. So the answer is, whoever is projecting the dream world is the same one that projects the waking world also. Therefore, Atma alone projects out of itself the waking world with the help of Atma itself. Other than Maya Shakti, Atma does not need anything else for this projection. The dreamer does not need anything else external to himself other than Nidra Shakti for projecting the dream world. In the same way, Atma does not require anything other than Maya Shakti to project this waking world. Where does Maya come from? Gaudapada says that it is already there in Atma, similar to the Nidra Shakti. that Atma alone is called Bhagavan in Bhagavad Gita and in the Puranas. That Bhagavan is not outside in some loka. He is nothing other than the Atma. That is why Upanyasakas use the word Krishna Paramatma to indicate that the Creator is not outside, but the Atma itself. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Aham Atma Guda Kesha Sarva Bhutasha Yasthitaha Aham Adischa Madhyancha Bhutanamanta Evacha. Chapter 10. I am the Self who resides in the hearts of all beings, and I am the cause of the creation, sustenance and resolution of all beings and things. Thinking that Bhagavan is outside, people go in search of Bhagavan and do not find him, and then they conclude that there is no Bhagavan. It is like the wave going in search of water, or the cloth going in search of the thread, and the jiva going in search of Brahman. All are foolish efforts. That Bhagavan is none other than I, the Atma. Therefore, I am the projector and supporter. I am also the experiencer. I project the dream. To experience the dream world, I need a dream body. Similarly, to experience the projected waking world, I use my own physical body. I create the dream and support the dream, but my own dream threatens me. This world has become a huge problem for me because of ignorance. To solve the problem, I have to wake up. I am the only truth and essential truth of creation. This is the final teaching of Vedanta. I have been looking down upon myself as an insignificant creature. Gaudapada says that I am the significant creator. Spiritual journey is what? Is from creature to creator. Shloka 13. Vikarotyaparan bhavan antaschitte vyavasthitan niyatam shabahischitta evam kalpayate prabhu. Prabhu the Lord. Vikaroti, he projects diversely. Aparan bhavan, the mundane dream objects which are vyavasthitan antaschitte. They are present within the mind, antaschitta. Evam, in the same manner, bahischitta hasanne niyatan. It projects well-defined objects, niyatan, well-defined objects also turning outward. The two types of worlds created with the help of two types of shakti. I, the Atma, myself, use two different type of shaktis to project two different worlds. In dream, using nidra shakti, Atma projects dream objects that are inferior in nature. All the dream objects are already in our own minds in the form of vasanas. The entire waking world is registered in the form of karma, in potential condition in the maya medium. With an extrovert mind, with the help of Maya Shakti, the Atma projects objects in the waking state, which appear to be lasting longer. Thus the creation comes into being. Now what happens? Shloka 16. Jivam kalpayate purvam tato bhavan prithagvidhan bahyana adhyatmikam chaiva yata vidyastata smritihi. Jivam kalpyate purvam. Jivam kalpyate purvam. The Atma projects the jiva first. Purvam. Thereafter, bhavan prithagvidhan. The Atma projects various objects which are bahyan adhyatmikancha eva. External as well as internal. Yata vidyaha tata smritihi. As the knowledge is, so is the memory, smriti. Atma, with the help of Maya Shakti, projects the waking world. The entire created world should include the experiencer Jiva and the experienced objects. One is sentient and the other is insentient. Even though we cannot talk about the order of the appearance of the experiencer and the experienced, for our understanding, we talk about an order. In that order, first the experiencer Jiva is created, according to karma of the jiva, and then the experienced world is created based on the karma of the jiva only. The world does not have punya papam because it is inert. The creation of the jiva and the world are based on the karma of the jiva only. Jivas are created first, who have many types of karmas. those jivas with punya karma require higher worlds, and atma creates these worlds, and similarly the lower worlds also. The whole drama starts. The only solution is to raise oneself from vishwa, taijasa and prajna to turiyam of Mandukya Upanishad, which was defined in mantra 7 of the Upanishad. Shloka 17. Anischitayata rajjuho andhakare vikalpita sarpadaradibhir bhavaihi tatvadatma vikalpitaha. So anischita yata rajjuhu andhakare. As a rope, rajju, as a rope does not clearly, is not clearly known in darkness, andhakare, which is vikalpita, is mistaken for what? Sarpadharadibihi bhavaihi. Various things like snake, a streak of water, all sarpadhara, all of them. So tatvadatma vikalpitaha, the atma is also mistaken similarly. So the waking and dream world are mithya. They are mithya projections only. And I, the atma, am the projector, sustainer and supporter and the experiencer, PSE. So Gaudapada Acharya says, as long as I don't know atma, mithya world will appear as satyam. Dream world will be known as mithya only after I wake up. And I understand that I am the PSE, projector, supporter and experiencer of the dream world when I wake up. Waking up in Vedantic language is knowing that I am the projector, supporter and experiencer of the dream world. That is waking up. As long as I don't wake up, I don't know that I am the PSE. And so I will mistake the dream world to be satyam. Mistaking dream world to be satyam creates varieties of problems, expressing in the form of helplessness because of mistaking oneself to be a limited person. Helplessness leads to anger, frustration, depression. So this samsara is the result of mistaking the dream world to be satyam. Vedanta says that the same is the story of the waking state also. Gaudapada Acharya, he diagnoses samsara as due to the ignorance of I as the projector, supporter and experiences of the waking world. Mistaking the waking world as satyam, my limitations become satyam. Then helplessness, anger, frustration, depression, they all follow. The mithya waking world is understood as mithya only when I understand myself as the projector, supporter, experiencer of the waking world. Self-ignorance is the cause of samsara. And self-knowledge is the solution for samsara. To illustrate this point, Gaudapada Acharya, he gives a very well-known example, which is very often quoted. So imagine there is a rope that is similar in length to a snake and it is also curved. In bright light, the rope will be recognized as rope. If there is total darkness, the rope is not seen. But in partial darkness, the rope is not known as rope. However, it is known that there is something. That much we know because the light is not clear. Then any of the varieties of objects can be projected, like snake, a streak of water, crack on the ground, all those things can be projected on that object. Supposing a snake is projected onto the rope and the person who is projecting is frightened, does the snake exist or not? We cannot say that snake does not exist because for him who is frightened, the snake exists. For him, it is not a projection, but it is an existent snake. Can you say that the snake is existent? No, because in bright light, he will see only the rope. So the snake is not existent. So this unique snake is called a mithya snake. Mithya is what then? It is something that does not come under the existent category or the non-existent category. We have seen all this earlier. So mithya is seemingly existent. We use the word seemingly existent, but factually it is non-existent. Even if it is mithya, the snake is capable of disturbing the person. Atma is like the rope. This Atma is not clearly known as Atma. If there is total ignorance, then there is no problem. Right? I am not totally ignorant because I know I am. I am not totally ignorant also. I know I am. So the partial knowledge is I am. The total knowledge is I am the projector, supporter, experiencer. The total knowledge is not there. The total ignorance also is not there. I have partial self-knowledge and partial self-ignorance. Because there is partial self-knowledge, there is projection. Thus we have two mithya projections, namely the waking world and the dream world, which are caused by self-ignorance. When the snake is frightening me, how do I get out of that problem? Similarly, you know, when similar is the case, will be the solution to the samsara problem also. Samsara problem is a rope snake problem. Samsara solution is rope snake solution only, given in the next shloka that we will read. Shloka 18. Nischita yam yata rajvam vikalpo vinivartate rajure veti chadvaitam tatvadatma vinischayaha. So, nischitayam yata rajvam. When the rope is clearly known as rope only, vikalpaha vinivartate. Every misperception, they all go away. Rajureva iti cha advaitam. The non-dual, advaitam. That rajureva, that rope alone remains. Tadvate atma vinischayaha. The knowledge of Atma is also like that. It's a simple translation of the shloka. Now let us go to the discussion. Can we drive away the rope snake? No. It is really not there. Can we beat the rope snake to death? That is also not possible. We will only be beating the rope. Would chanting, for example, Garuda Mantra, people normally say Garuda, when you recite Garuda Mantra, snake runs away. Will it drive away the rope snake? No. Our fear, our palpitation, they all will go away by a simple torch light. Where we require light, we use the stick. Where we need jnanam, we use karma. Look at that. Where we require a light, we use a stick. Or Garuda Purana or anything. Or puja. Where we need jnanam, we use all these karmas. What a mistake it is. What is required is not a lot of karma. What is required is renunciation of ignorance. The rope ignorance is removed only by rope knowledge. Rope knowledge will come by using a light. Which will light up the rope? Gaudapada says that when we clearly understand that there is only rope, which understanding requires a light, the rope snake is known as not there. That is first. There was no snake to begin with. For it to go anywhere. There was no snake in all three periods of time. If it is asked if the snake will go away after knowing the rope, it is difficult to answer that question. But for teaching, it is said that there is ignorance to begin with, and after knowledge, the snake will go away. That is figurative. After knowledge, the student understands that there was no snake to begin with. All the projections similarly go away within quotes. Gaudapadacharya says that the entire waking world and samsara, they are like the rope snake, which is only mithya and does not have an existence of its own, but is born out of ignorance. In case of the waking world, the ignorance is of Atma, the projector, supporter, experiencer, the substratum. After knowledge, the rope alone remains. After Atmajnanam, it is known that there is only one thing, the Atma, and Atma alone is. Does it mean that an Anatma is non-existent? We do not say it is not existent also. It is neither existent nor non-existent. It is mithya. That is called mithya. In the same way, samsara problem will be solved only by self-knowledge. that I am, what is the self-knowledge? I am the projector, I am the supporter, I am the experiencer. For understanding the rope, extra light was needed. Similarly, with the available instruments of knowledge, we do not have complete knowledge of ourselves. Someone needs to bring a special light. For self-knowledge, that special light is the Upanishads. The teaching of the Upanishads is, what is that? You are not Jivatma, a creature in the waking world, but you are the Paramatma, the projector of the waking world, which is a revelation, and it is a Mahavakya. If that one Atma is missed, the projections will be endless. The projections will be many if the truth is missed. So Gaudapada Acharya says that other than Vedanta, all the other systems are projections only. Other than Vedanta, all other systems are projections only. The other systems like Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Buddhism, Jainism, they do not use the Upanishads, but their own limited resources and create lot of confusions. Gaudapada Acharya enumerates that these confusions from the next verse, shloka onwards, that we will read. Shloka 19. Prana dibiranantaischa bhavairetairvikalpitaha mayaishatasya devasya yaya sammohitasvayam. So pranadibihi anantaischa bhavaihi etaihi vikalpitaha. The Atma is mistaken for the following countless things like prana and all that, pranadibhi. Maya, esha, tasya, devasya. All this is the maya of that Atma, devasya, Atma, deva, here means Atma, devasya, Atma, by which yaya sammohitaha swayam. The Atma itself is deluded, mohitaha. So the misconception is the glory of maya. Maya is so powerful that we will conclude that the truth is something somewhere else. We will never think that we are the truth. Krishna refers to the Maya power in the Bhagavad Gita. By this Maya alone, the philosophers are confused. Some are religious philosophers. They believe in God. Some others are atheistic. They are also philosophers. Prana in this verse is Hiranyagarbha, the total prana principle. Prana here refers to any deity of any religion, doesn't matter. Considering such a deity as ultimate reality is the first mistake. When we worship a deity, can we accept this deity as the ultimate truth? Is that deity an object of experience or the subject? Mandukya Upanishad's fundamental teaching is what? That any object of experience cannot exist independent of the observer. Anything that is observed is mithya. Is Vishnu satyam or mithya? Vedanta will not answer, but will ask the question whether Vishnu is an object of experience or the subject, the consciousness principle. If I say that I had a darshan of a Vishnu, Vedanta will say that Vishnu is mithya, name and form. If I say that Vishnu is like described in Kathopanishad as Atma, then Vedanta will say that Vishnu is Satyam. So prana is, in this verse, in this shloka, is any deity that is deemed as an object of experience. Kena Upanishad clearly says that any deity that you meditate upon as an object is not the truth. Still, many religious people think that the deity is the ultimate reality. This is misconception number one. Taking the form of the deity as the truth, people commit a mistake. Even if this is a mistake, they do not tell out that it is so, because it is a useful mistake that will bless a person. During Karma Yoga and during Upasana Yoga, we do use this way of worship. Behind anything that is false, there must be the truth as support. Every mithya has satyam supporting it. Every false movie has the real screen supporting it. So when I worship mithya, I unknowingly worship satyam also. Look at the revelation. When I worship mithya God also, I unknowingly worship the satyam. ఆల్ ది రిచువల్స్ ఆఫ్ వర్షిప్ దో మేడ్ టు ఎ మిథ్యా డైటీ ఆర్ ఇండైరెక్ట్లీ డైరెక్టెడ్ టువర్స్ ది సత్య ఆత్మ. శ్లోక 20. ప్రాణ ఇతి ప్రాణవిధో భూతానీతి చ తద్విధః గుణ ఇతి లోకవిధో దేవా ఇతి చ తద్విధః. ప్రాణ ఇతి ప్రాణవిధు, నోయస్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాణ ప్రాణవిధు, దే కన్సిడర్ ప్రాణ టు బి రియాలిటీ. భూతానితి చ తద్విధః, ద నోవర్ ఆఫ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ భూతాన్ కన్సిడర్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. గుణ ఇతి లోకవిధః, నోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ గుణాస్ దే కన్సిడర్ గుణాస్ టు బి ది రియాలిటీ. అండ్ దేవా ఇతి చ తద్విధః, నోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ కేటగిరీస్ దే కన్సిడర్ కేటగిరీస్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. So all different types of religious people, they claim that their deities are the ultimate reality. There are so many such systems in the Hindu religion itself. The other group, they do not believe in God and scriptures. And for them, matter is ultimate reality. This is the Charvaka system. They look upon the four elements as the ultimate reality. They do not include space because it is not perceptible. The proponents of the three gunas, they consider the gunas to be ultimate reality. Prakriti or Pradhanam. Some others, like those of Shaiva Siddhanta, their system, they talk about fundamental categories and consider those categories to be the ultimate reality. All of these people consider the anatma, the observed, to be real and lose sight of I, the observer. They miss the common factor, I. Shloka 21. పాద ఇతి పాదవిధో విషయా ఇతి తద్విధః లోక ఇతి లోకవిధో దేవా ఇతి చ తద్విధః. దిస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ డిస్క్రిప్టివ్ శ్లోకాస్. సో ద నోవర్స్ ఆర్ ది పాదాస్. పాదాస్ దే కన్సిడర్ ద పాదాస్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. ది నోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ విషయాస్ దే కన్సిడర్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. నోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద వర్ల్డ్స్ లోకాస్ దే కన్సిడర్ ద వర్ల్డ్స్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. అండ్ ద నోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్స్ దేవాస్ దే కన్సిడర్ గాడ్స్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. So there are some other philosophers, they study the four padas of the Atma. For example, in Mandukya Upanishad, we have called, you know, various padas of the Atma. The Turi Atma is what we are concentrating. They conclude that all the four padas are the ultimate reality. And people who are given to sense pleasures, they think that life is a series of sense enjoyments and consider the sense objects to be the ultimate truth. Whatever gives happiness alone is the truth, is the conclusion of the materialistic and consumption-oriented people. And the Puranic people, they consider the various lokas described in the Puranas to be the ultimate truth. And various devatas and deities mentioned in the Vedas that are meditated upon by the Upasakas, they are considered to be the truth by them also. Veda iti veda vidho, yajna iti tadvidaha, bhokte ticha bhoktru vidho, భోజ్యమితి చ తద్విధః. ద నోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ ది వేదాస్ దే కన్సిడర్ వేదాస్ టు బి ది రియాలిటీ. నోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ యజ్ఞాస్ కన్సిడర్ యజ్ఞాస్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. నోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎంజాయర్స్ కన్సిడర్ ది ఎంజాయర్ టు బి ది రియాలిటీ. అండ్ నోయర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ భోజ్యం దే కన్సిడర్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. సో ద పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ కమిటెడ్ టు వేదిక్ లర్నింగ్ అండ్ చాంటింగ్ దే ఆర్ నాట్ ఈవెన్ ఇంట్రెస్టెడ్ ఇన్ నోయింగ్ ద మీనింగ్. They consider the Vedas to be ultimate reality. Vedic chanting is for mental purification. Veda itself is anatma. We have to be clear. The ultimate truth is beyond the knower, known and the means of knowledge. Some learn the Triputi. We have already seen all these earlier. Some people learn the meaning of the Vedic mantras. They love rituals and ultimately get obsessed with the ritualistic way of life and are not able to go beyond that life at all. They consider rituals as the truth. Some philosophers, they like the Sankhya people. They are peculiar people. They say that Atma is a non-doer, but Atma is the experiencer. How is it possible? Atma is non-doer. It is akartha. But Atma is experiencer, but bhokta. How can the non-doer be the experiencer? These people say that the experiencer Atma is reality. Some others think that objects of enjoyment are the ultimate reality. There are all kinds of perceptions. Sukshma iti sukshma vidaha, sthula iti cha tadvidaha, murta iti murta vidaha, amurta iti cha tadvidaha. నోవస్ ఆర్ ద సటిల్ సూక్ష్మం, దే కన్సిడర్ ది రియాలిటీ టు బి సటిల్. అండ్ నోవస్ ఆర్ ద గ్రాస్ స్థూలం, దే కన్సిడర్ రియాలిటీ టు బి గ్రాస్. ద నోవస్ ఆఫ్ డైటీ ఇస్ మూర్త విత్ ఫార్మ్స్, ది డైటీ టు బి ద రియాలిటీ. అండ్ ద నోవస్ ఆఫ్ ది అమూర్తం, ది నోవస్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫార్మ్లెస్ కన్సిడర్ ద రియాలిటీ టు బి ఫార్మ్లెస్. సో సమ్ ఫిలాసఫర్స్ లైక్ న్యాయ వైశేషికాస్, దే వ్యూ ఆటమ్స్ యాజ్ ద అల్టిమేట్ రియాలిటీ. దిస్ ఈజ్ సిమిలర్ టు ద మోడర్న్ సైంటిఫిక్ థింకింగ్. సమ్ అదర్స్ ది అణు ఆత్మ, దే ప్రొపోనెంట్స్ దే సే దట్ ఆటమ్స్ ఆర్ ది అల్టిమేట్ ట్రూత్ బట్ నాట్ ది పరమాణు, ద మ్యాటర్. బట్ ఆత్మ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆఫ్ ద సైజ్ ఆఫ్ పరమాణు ఈజ్ ది అల్టిమేట్ ట్రూత్. మెటీరియల్ పరమాణు ఈజ్ నాట్ ద ట్రూత్ బట్ ది ఆత్మ పరమాణు ఈజ్ ది అల్టిమేట్ ట్రూత్. ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ వేరియస్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్స్. అఫ్ కోర్స్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ ది వే సైంటిఫిక్స్ థింకింగ్. ఆత్మ పరమాత్మ పరమాణు అణు పరమాణు అండ్ ఆల్ దాట్. దిగంబర జైన్స్ దే హోల్ దిస్ వ్యూ. దే టేక్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ ద ఉపనిషద్ స్టేట్మెంట్స్ దట్ కంటైన్స్ ద ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్ ఆత్మ అణు ఫార్ ద సపోర్ట్ ఆఫ్ దర్ వ్యూ. సో ది లిటరల్ మీనింగ్ టేకన్ బై దీస్ పీపుల్ ఈస్ నాట్ వారంటెడ్ బికాస్ ది వెరీ సేమ్ ఉపనిషద్ సేస్ దట్ ఆత్మ ఈస్ ఆల్ పర్వేడింగ్. సో వీ డోంట్ హెవ్ టు గో ఇన్ టు ది లిటరల్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దాట్ బట్ వీ హెవ్ టు ఓన్లీ అండర్స్టాండ్ ది కాన్సెప్ట్. సో ఇన్ ద ఉపనిషద్ ద వర్డ్ అణు డస్ నాట్ రెఫర్ టు ద సైజ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆత్మ బట్ టు యు నో బీయింగ్ అవైలబుల్ ఫర్ సెన్సరీ పర్సెప్షన్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్, ఇట్స్ నాట్ అవైలబుల్ ఫర్ సెన్సరీ పర్సెప్షన్. అండ్ ఏ గ్రూప్ ఆఫ్ జైన్ ఫిలాసఫర్స్ దే సే దట్ ఆత్మ ఈస్ ద ట్రూత్ అండ్ ఆఫ్ ద సైజ్ ఆఫ్ ద బాడీ. ఇన్ వైష్ణవిజం దిస్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ అర్చావతార. అర్చావతార ది ఇన్నట్ ఐడల్స్ ఆర్ గాడ్ ది మూర్తీస్ అండ్ ది అల్టిమేట్ రియాలిటీ ఫార్ దమ్. దట్స్ వాట్ దే సే. ఏ ఫైనట్ స్కల్ప్చర్ కెనాట్ బి ది అల్టిమేట్ ట్రూత్. అండ్ అనదర్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్ వ్యూ ఈస్ టు దిస్ ఈజ్ వాట్ ద బుద్ధిం శూన్యవాదీస్ బుద్ధిజం. దే సే దట్ ద ఫార్మ్లెస్ ఎంప్టీనెస్ కాల్డ్ శూన్యం దట్ ఈస్ ద అల్టిమేట్ రియాలిటీ. ద శూన్యవాది సేస్ దట్ హీ శూన్యం ఆల్సో. దిస్ బుద్ధిస్ సిస్టమ్ విల్ బి స్టడీడ్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ ద చాప్టర్ 4 వెన్ వీ గో టు ది అద్వైత ప్రకరణం అండ్ లేటర్. బట్ రైట్ నౌ ఇట్స్ అడెక్వైట్ ఇఫ్ యూ నో దిస్ థింగ్. శ్లోకా 24. కాల ఇతి కాల విధో దిశ ఇతి చ తద్విధః వాద ఇతి వాద విధో భువనానీతి తద్వతః తద్విధః. ద నోవస్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ కాలం, దే కన్సిడర్ టైమ్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. నోవస్ ఆఫ్ డైరెక్షన్ దిశాస్ కన్సిడర్ డైరెక్షన్స్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. నోవస్ ఆఫ్ థియరీస్ వాదాస్ దే కన్సిడర్ ద థియరీస్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. అండ్ ద నోవస్ ఆఫ్ ది వరల్డ్ భువనాని దే థింక్ ది వరల్డ్స్ ఆర్ రియాలిటీ. సో సమ్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ అస్ట్రాలజర్స్ దే కన్సిడర్ టైమ్ టు బి ఇంపార్టెంట్ టు ది ఎక్స్టెంట్ దట్ ఫార్ దమ్ ఈవెన్ మోక్ష ఈజ్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ టైమ్. ఫార్ దమ్ దర్ ఇస్ అ రైట్ టైమ్ టు డూ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. దే టేక్ టైమ్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. ఫార్ సమ్ పీపుల్ డైరెక్షన్ ఇస్ ద ట్రూత్. దే చూస్ ద రైట్ డైరెక్షన్ ఫర్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈస్ట్ వాట్ ఎవర్. ది ఆల్కెమిస్ట్ దే టేక్ ది మెటీరియల్స్ దే యూస్ ఇన్ ఆల్కెమీ టు బి ది అల్టిమేట్ ట్రూత్. అండ్ సమ్ హూ నో ది డిఫరెంట్ స్పియర్స్ భువనాన్ని దే యూ నో ఆఫ్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ దే టేక్ దెమ్ టు బి రియాలిటీ. మన ఇతి మనో మనోవిధ బుద్ధిరితి చ తద్విధ చిత్తమితి చిత్తవిధో ధర్మాధర్మో చ తద్విధ. నోవస్ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్ మనం మనస్ ది మైండ్ టు బి ది రియాలిటీ. అండ్ నోవస్ ఆఫ్ ది ఇంటలెక్ట్ బుద్ధి దే కన్సిడర్ బుద్ధి టు బి రియాలిటీ. నోవస్ ఆఫ్ చిత్తం దే కన్సిడర్ చిత్తం టు బి రియాలిటీ. అండ్ నోవస్ ఆఫ్ ధర్మ అండ్ అధర్మ దే కన్సిడర్ ధర్మ అండ్ అధర్మ టు బి రియాలిటీ. గౌడపాదాచార్య హీ లిస్ట్ ది ఇంటర్నల్ అనాత్మ. సమ్ ఫిలాసఫర్స్ టేక్ ద మైండ్ టు బి ది అల్టిమేట్ రియాలిటీ. దే సే దట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్. సమ్ అదర్స్ లైక్ ద బుద్ధిస్ దే కన్సిడర్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఈస్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ అండ్ ఫార్ దెమ్ ఇంటలెక్ట్ ఇస్ అల్టిమేట్ ట్రూత్. సమ్ అదర్ సైకాలజిస్ట్ దే కన్సిడర్ ది సబ్కాన్షియస్ అండ్ అన్కాన్షియస్ దట్ ఈస్ ట్రూత్. ఇన్ మీమాంసకా ఫిలాసఫర్స్ యూ నో ది మీమాంసకా ఫిలాసఫర్స్ దే కన్సిడర్ దట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈస్ కర్మ. పూర్వ మీమాంసకాస్ ఫార్ దెమ్ ధర్మ అధర్మ పుణ్యం పాపం దే ఆర్ ఆల్ ది అల్టిమేట్ ట్రూత్స్. శ్లోక 26. పంచవింశక ఇత్యేకే షడ్వింశ ఇతి చాపరే ఏకత్రింశక ఇత్యాహు అనంత ఇతి చాపరే. సమ్ పీపుల్ సే దట్ రియాలిటీ కన్సిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ 25 కేటగిరీస్ పంచవింశక. అదర్స్ సే దట్ ఇట్ కన్సిస్ ఆఫ్ 26 కేటగిరీస్ షడ్వింశ. సమ్ అదర్స్ సే దట్ ఇట్ కన్సిస్ ఆఫ్ 31 ఏకత్రింశక. అండ్ ఎట్ అదర్స్ దే సే ఇట్ కన్సిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ కౌంట్లెస్ అనంత. So there are some philosophies that reduce the entire world into principles or categories. And these principles alone, they have joined together in various proportions to evolve as the universe. The Shankhya system, they enumerate 25 tattvas, but does not include Ishvara. We don't have to go into these details right now, just only we will understand it's adequate. For them, there are many Jivatmas, but only one Paramatma. But no Paramatma actually, no Ishvara. And yoga system include all the 25 tattvas of Shankhya, but adds Ishvara tattvam also. And yoga system has, therefore, 26 tattvas. So, Shankhya has 25 without Ishvara, yoga has 26 including Ishvara. And the Pashupatas, that is a Saiva system, they add 5 more and end up with 31 tattvas. So, there are some other systems that they say the tattvas are infinite in number, Ananta. Shloka 27. Loka lokavida prahu ashramagiti tadvidaha tripunnapumsakam laingaha paraparama atapare. So the knowers of the people, so the lokas, pleasures of people and all, they consider that to be reality. And knowers of the stages of life, ashramas, they think ashramas are reality. Knowers of genders, stree, you know, male, female, all that, masculine, feminine, neuter, all those genders, and they consider lower and higher Brahman, they are to be reality. Ordinary people of the world, they consider the different lokas that we experience as the ultimate reality. For a dreamer, the dream world is reality. There are people that are so much obsessed with the four ashramas that are discussed in the Dharma Shastra actually. For them, everything in life is governed by one status, ashrama, in life. And therefore, the ashramas are reality for them. They do not realize that the ashramas are only stepping stones to liberation and not ends in themselves. For grammarians, who are great in Vyakarana, words, they are more important than even the objects. They are obsessed with grammar rules and the genders of the words. And they become the reality for them. And there are some other people who consider that Param Brahma and Aparam Brahma together to be ultimate reality. Saguna Nirgunatmaka Brahman is the ultimate truth for some people. For Vedanta, Nirgunam Brahman is the ultimate truth. Sagunam Brahman includes Maya in it. And so Sagunam Brahman cannot be the ultimate truth. So these are all various ways they try to understand the systems. Srishti riti srishti vidaham laya iti cha tadvidaham sthiti riti sthiti vidaham sarve chehatu sarvadham. So the knowers of creation, they consider the creation to be reality, srishti. Knowers of dissolution, laya, consider laya to be reality. Knowers of sustenance, sthiti, consider sthiti to be reality. All these are ever projected on this atma, sarve chehatu sarvadham. So, there are some people who are obsessed with Srishti and some others with Laya. Every object is associated with all these three all the time, Srishti, Sthiti and Laya. Life is a series of all these three. None of these can be the ultimate truth. In the momentary fleeting universe, none of these can be the truth. And Gaudapada Acharya says that every group has one misconception of the truth or the other. The common mistake that is made is that something or the other is the truth, but they never imagine that I am the truth of all. Upanishads alone teaches. Everyone analyzing everything in the world, but never analyzes the analyzer. The analyzer can never be analyzed because the analyzer has to become then an object, but subject can never become an object. Yajnavalkya to Maitreyi in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we'll see it later. How will you observe the observer and with what instrument? He asks her. Nobody thinks of asking this question, who am I? Because the question is not asked, one anatma or the other is taken as reality. People all the time running after anatma, and that is the glory of Maya. But there is a silver lining in all this. Gaudapada Acharya says that all are not lost, but there is still hope. and that is described in the next important shloka. We will read shloka 29. Yam bhavam darshayed yasya tam bhavam satu pasyati tam cha vati cha bhutvasau tadgrahasamu paititam. Yam bhavam darshayed yasya tam bhavam sahatu pasyati. One sees that thing, a person sees that thing as the reality, which thing a teacher shows him. Tam chavati saha asau bhutva. Having become one with them, tadgrahaha, it protects. Sam upaiti tam. Firm conviction in that thing possesses that person. So Gaudapadarya says that every human being is exposed to one view or the other. Right from early life, childhood itself, in the form of Bhagavan as one particular deity or the other, by the parents or the teacher, they tell them. And that deity becomes the only god for that person. So the human mind gets bhakti in the form of strong emotion by constant association with a particular deity. So Gaudapada Acharya, he respects this bhakti, he doesn't condemn it. He says that deity will certainly protect that devotee because of his sincere devotion. That devotion will bless the person irrespective of what that deity is. As the person thinks, so the person becomes. Great upasakas, they develop behavior and attitudes of the upasya deity. Whatever deity they do, the upasana on. His faith is that deity will increase more and in that thing will be increased by the deity. So the intense devotion, that passion and obsession will take over the devotee at some point in time. Krishna said actually in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, let any bhakta worship the Lord in any form. I will never disappoint that person in the form of his chosen deity. Whatever may be the deity he chooses. The devotee will be blessed, even though the devotion is based on the mistake of considering the Anatma deity as the truth. The ultimate Bhagavan is considered as an object, but that bhakti will bless him still by bringing him to Vedanta. The very liking for Vedanta is the grace of the Lord, which we have mistaken as an object. Shloka 30. एतेरेशो पृथक् भावैः पृथगेवेति लक्षितः एवं यो वेद तत्त्वेन कल्पये सोऽपि शङ्कितः एतैः थ्रू दीस् प्राणा एट्सेट्रा आल् दोस् थिङ्ग् प्राणादि वि आल्रेडि सायल् अपृथक् भावैः थ्रू दीस् विच् आर् नाट् डिफरेण्ट् फ्रम् एषः दिस् आत्मा लक्षितः इस् कन्सिडर्ड् टु बि बै द इग्नरेण्ट् पीपल् Prithak eva iti, separate, prithak, which are really not separate from the Atma. Yaha evam veda, the person who really knows like this, tatvena kalpayeti saha avishankitaha. Truly that person expounds the Vedas without any hesitation. Avishankitaha. That is with clarity. So this is a very profound verse, but can be disturbing verse for an unprepared mind. The entire Anatma world is mithya and therefore it cannot exist independent of Atma. Atma is described in Mantra 7, we saw earlier, as Turiya Atma, and that Turiya Atma is I. So the mithya world does not exist independent of I, the Turiya Atma. So included in the Atma world are all the deities that people worship also. These deities are mithya as Anatma. Whatever the form of the deity be, none of these deities can ever exist separate from I, the Atma. Those deities actually depend on I, the Atma. And Gaudapada Acharya says that people do not know this Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, this greatest secret. Many people do not know this and many are not prepared to know this because it requires tremendous intellectual courage to accept this fact. All are shocking revelations. Gaudapada Acharya's teaching is one step higher than the Soham teaching, in which Atma, that I are one, Atma and the deity, they are all one, the same thing, Soham. Gaudapada says that God as an object, anatma, is dependent on me, the atma. This teaching is not for a beginner actually. Many people think that atma and anatma exist separately and independently, even though the anatma world does not exist independently. The dreamer in dream looks upon the dream world as existing separately from him. But when he wakes up, the dream world resolves into him, the observer. The fundamental truth is what? That the observed does not exist independent of the observer. Anything observed, ordinary or extraordinary, whatever it could be, secular or sacred, cannot exist independent of the Turiya Atma, the observer. Turiya Atma is the observer. So, one who can comfortably claim the following, actually in the Kaivalya Upanishad, it is given there. If the one who is really understands, actually we have already seen this shloka many times, Mayyeva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishtitam, mayi sarvam layam yati. This shloka we have already seen in Kaivalya Upanishad in some other context. So everything is born in me alone. Mayyeva sakalam jatam. Everything is based on me only. Everything dissolves into me only. I am that non-dual Brahman. I am the sthiti laya karanam. Karya world, karyam is the effect. The karya world does not exist separate from I, the karanam. I am the karanam. Thus, the one who understands this alone has understood these scriptures. I alone am the karanam. The karya world does not exist independent of me. He alone has understood the final message of the entire Vedas. No doubt the Vedas start with Bhakta, Bhagavan, duality. Right? Bhakta and Bhagavan, duality, Veda starts with that. But it is only the starting point and not the ending point. The one who understood this truth alone is the one who has understood Vedanta. So this is the proclamation of this particular shloka and in this karika. So we will continue with the rest of this in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasa maheshwarah. Sri Krishna arpanamastu. Narayana.